What we're now going to have is a response from a number of speakers. We've got Ken Pennington from the PSNI, Peter Osborne, who's the Chair of the Community Relations Council. Sam White is here from UPRG. And is Winston Irvine here? I haven't seen... No, Winston. Okay. Do the three of you want to come to the front here?
Dominic, thanks very much indeed, and thanks for the invitation to come along as well as to speak at the event. Can I say two things? First of all, one is to again acknowledge the role of the Department of Foreign Affairs in funding the research. Community Relations Council is delighted to have helped in some way as well, because this is the sort of work that I think the Community Relations Council does, has consistently done, will continue to do. To look at the hard issues, to look at the lessons learnt from some of the critical factors in our society that have shaped our society, and then to challenge back to everybody involved about how we need to move forward with things. Can I also, secondly, thank the report authors? I think this is a definitive history of this event in this city and in Northern Ireland. I think it's something that really does bring together the history of flags protests in the city, the relatively short history of this particular protest, and does, I think, set up a number of challenges about how we would respond to something like this in the future. Of course, we will all have our different interpretations of what has happened. We'll all have our different conclusions. We'll all have different views about lessons learnt and what we do about it, but at least we have this really very valuable report factually stating the position. I suppose in responding to it, I would want to make four or five points, and I know time is relatively tight, Dominic, and give me a signal when I need to wind up. I'm taking my watch off, but I tend not to look at it anyway. I think the first thing I would say, and some of these will resonate with what's already been said by Paul and Katie, we are in a peace process. We are, in my view, in a peace process that will take decades. This is not going to be sorted out in terms of relationships and how we share this piece of earth together. It's not going to be sorted out in the next 4, 5, or 6 years. It's going to be sorted out if we are going to have a genuinely reconciled society in the next 30, 40, and 50 years. This is a peace process that some in other parts of academia would call it a pacted process. It's one where it is continually negotiated, where the movement forward is really important between players who have been part of, in one way or another, the conflict that has existed for 30 or 40 years. This will take decades. And while we will play our contribution to it, you know, the burden of finishing the peace process, the bounty of enjoying the finish of the peace process, will rest with the next generation. It will be the people here in their 20s now who will be the first ministers and deputy first ministers in 30 years who will bring this to some sort of a conclusion if we get that far with it. In that sort of process, we will have many risks. One of the risks will be that we need to keep moving forward. Otherwise, we are in real danger of going back big time, backwards big time. I think that's one of the reasons why the Stormont House Agreement, limited as it was important. One of the risks is that old disputes reassert themselves. The old battles that were fought, sometimes violently, in the 70s and 80s and 90s will be refought and refought again. That is a danger, and that will bring us back. The danger is that we will forget how bad things were in the 70s and 80s. I'm of an age when I do remember how bad things were. This was a dreadful place to live in. It was a horrible place to live in Belfast in the 70s and 80s. And those who don't remember that, again, might be more open to the language of people who want to glorify what things were like in that period, and we then have a danger of going backwards. And sometimes, such as with maybe On the Runs, what appears necessary in one decade in this sort of long-term process becomes a little less understandable in another decade. Those are the risks we take. And in some ways, I think the flags protest fits into some of that dichotomy, some of that understanding of a process. There will be ups and downs in this process. I want to then concentrate on four things, and I'll be quite brief if I can. And I am going to talk around cohesion. I'm going to talk about cohesion principles that are also principles around how we get towards more sharing and integration in this society. We need strong relationships. We need strong relationship building. And I think one of the things that the Flags protest showed was that relationship building and relationships within and between communities and institutions like the council or the police or other institutions, are not as strong as they should be. And I think since the Good Friday Agreement, in the last 16, 17 years, we simply have not paid sufficient attention to the huge need for systemic relationship building in this society. It hasn't been done well enough, it hasn't been resourced well enough, not enough attention has been paid to it, there hasn't been enough commitment to it. And that secondly then links into the need to understand that trust in institutions is critically important. And that is trust in organisations like the police and our elected institutions, as well as other institutions, including such as organisations such as the Parades Commission that was a little bit relevant to this, and others. Within that context, as we go forward, support for the law, support for the police, support for the criminal justice system is really critically important. And while I know that there may be different views about how the police have managed the Flags protest, there will be those who think they were heavy-handed, there will be those who think they were too soft. In my view, when I look back in that period, even then when I was, and we all were observing it, I couldn't help but admire hugely the restraint and resilience of the police service during those number of months. I think the women and the men who were on the front line, who took a huge amount of abuse, really did act in such an admirable way to maintain order, even if you have other views about whether they could have done things differently one way or another. But support for the law, support for the police, as we build a more cohesive and shared society, is critically important. Two briefly final things. The Peace Monitor report that Paul Nolan wrote, the Community Relations Council produced a few months ago, highlighted in a major way issues around educational underachievement. Within both communities, all sides of the community, particularly, I suppose, around Protestant boys from disadvantaged communities, but it was also true in other communities too. People, individuals, need to understand their role in this society. They need to understand the individual contributions that they can make to this society. And I think in some ways, there are those people, young people in particular, probably, on both sides of the community who have lost where they fit within the peace process itself, lost where they fit within society and the role that they have and the contribution that they can make. I think that's drawn out in the Peace Monitor report. It's evident, I think, in the Flags protest, and it's evident in what has been said today. And very quickly, sorry, Dominic, I will wind up very quickly. The fourth issue is around strategic leadership, the need to have an uplifting vision, a positive vision for the future. And I'm talking about leadership that is strategic, not tactical. Again, the Peace Monitor report highlighted that in Belfast City Council, for the first time in its history in 2011, and I know this doesn't translate necessarily into votes, but for the first time in its history, Belfast had more people from a Catholic background living in it than a Protestant background living in it. That then translates into what the representation is in Belfast City Council itself. And the challenge for unionists, I think, is to develop a positive strategic vision for the future in a city where it is a minority. And the challenge for nationalism and Republicans is to develop a positive vision for the future where nationalism and republicanism is a minority now. I don't know what will happen in the future, but where many of the symbols that are currently there are imbalanced themselves because of the history of the city over the last number of decades and century or two. And those are big challenges for those political representatives to deliver, to develop that shared vision, that uplifting sort of strategic leadership that is needed. So four things, lessons: the importance of strategic leadership, not tactical leadership. I think we saw too much tactical leadership during the Flags protest. The need to move away from sectional language, sectional approaches to civic life and political life, reprioritise relationship building, support for the law, support for the police, And the police and other institutions also must earn that support, earn that trust. And we need to try and make sure that nobody is left behind, that detached communities and the needs that and the causes of detachment are addressed, because we won't be forgiven in this process if we don't address those issues and we continue to behave in the sort of sectional way that we have seen too often in so many walks of life in Northern Ireland. Sorry, Dominic, for going on too long.
Peter, thank you very much. I know you've had to rearrange your day to be able to manage to do that.